We have been talking, as Larry has alluded to, about this idea that is all through Scripture of Jesus as our Lord, that visible example of the invisible God. God, in His love and providence, knowing that I can't see or know an invisible God, so how can I live the way that God wants me to live without an example? I need an example, something that I can look to, someone who knows me, who's been through the things that I've been through. And this is the beauty of God coming in the form of man, Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about that. I need to make Jesus my Lord, my example in all things. And I'm grateful for His example. We've been talking about that. Salvation is not the only thing. The Lordship of Jesus, Him being my Lord, my example, the authority that's above me, is most important. And me living by His example. And along with that comes the blessing of salvation. I will stand before God someday in Jesus Christ and be saved. And boy, I'm thankful for that. What a blessing that is. But while I'm in this flesh, on this earth, I need to live with Jesus Christ as my Lord and my authority in everything I do and all my decisions. So these are the things we've been talking about for a while now. We're going to end this series today on Father's Day. Next week, I will not be here. We're heading up to Pennsylvania to visit our family. It's been a year and we need to go. So Chuck Madden from Child Evangelism Fellowship, a young man, really, really good. They have their office here in the church. He's going to be speaking next week. I would really encourage you to come out. Just a super, super guy and has a lot of good things to say. So come out and find out about Child Evangelism Fellowship and hear his message next week. Today we want to talk about God as our Father and Jesus as our Lord a little bit further as we wrap this up. The story goes, one day a hungry beggar went to a house of a rich man. He asked for something to eat. The rich man invited the beggar in and gave him some soup. The beggar drank the soup very quickly. When he had finished, the rich man asked, "Do you want more to eat?" "No, thanks," the beggar answered. "That's enough. I'm full." But the rich man gave the beggar a large plate of meat. The beggar finished that very quickly also. "Do you want more to eat?" the rich man asked. "No, thanks," the beggar answered. "That was enough. I'm full." But the rich man didn't stop. He gave the beggar some delicious chocolate cake. The beggar quickly finished the food again. "Why do you lie to me?" the rich man asked. "Every time I ask you if you want more to eat, you say no. But every time I give you more, you eat it quickly." The beggar looked around. Outside the kitchen, there was a box. He filled the box with stones and asked the rich man, "Is this box full?" "Of course it's full," the rich man answered. Then the beggar put some sand in the box that was full of stones. "Is this box full?" he asked again. "Of course it's full," the rich man answered. Then the beggar got a pail of water. He poured the water into the box that was full of stones and sand, and he said, "You see, every time I ask you if the box is full, you say yes. But every time you say yes, I fill the box again. It's the same with the food you gave me. There's always room for more." I know people like that. Yeah, David. There's always room for more. In Genesis chapter 2, God took the ground of the barren earth and He formed a man. He made flesh and bone and organs and blood, and it was a functioning body of a man, except for one thing. The very thing that would make that man full, the very thing that would make him alive, was missing. God breathed into the man the spiritual breath of God Himself, and that man, that body, that flesh, became alive. The Spirit of God filled him, and he made him complete. There was no room for anything else. Adam was complete. He was full, and he was alive. You know, if we would have been there at that moment, I'm sure we would have seen on Adam's face all of a sudden a realization that he somehow was recognizing his Father God. God, Genesis tells us that God walked with him in the cool of the garden in the evening. And as Adam, that body, and then the breath of the Spirit of God inhabited that body, and that man became alive, and he looked on God, he recognized his Father. But you know what? It would not last. When Adam took the fruit from Eve and ate it, he lost part of himself. Adam was sinless and in a perfect father-son relationship with God. He talked with God. He walked with God in the garden. He lost something very precious to him, a hole formed in his being. The connection to God was lost, and I'm sure he knew it. He lost his Father. He lost that relationship with his Father. It was gone. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to call you Father. Lord, and every one of us who is alive in this world that is contaminated by sin has a void in us that only can be filled by you through Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, as we talk about this morning, that we come to a realization on what is involved and how serious this is and how deep our desire is for your presence in our life. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When the disciples asked Jesus how they should communicate with the Father, Jesus had a perfect response. He told them, address him as your Father. Address him as your Father. He's the one who knows your deepest needs, and he is capable of doing something about them. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, if you want to open your Bible and look at that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. That scripture reference is on the insert in your bulletin also. So the disciples ask him how they should communicate with God, and Jesus says, address him as your Father. And it goes like this. Don't be like them. And he's pointing to the Pharisees who have this, you know, written down prayer, memorized prayer, rote thing that they say over and over again. He said, don't be like them. He says, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins, that as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Paul in Romans has a couple passages of scripture that talk about this very idea that is in this prayer. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the very thing that God the Father wants is that we would acknowledge him and glorify him and give him thanks. Because he does all these things for us. In Romans chapter 10, we've read this a number of times. that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Jesus says it's God. He's your Father. He's the one who has the ability to meet your needs. You need to acknowledge him and thank him. You need to call upon him for your needs and forgive the sins of others as they sin against you. God is our Father, and we need to be obedient to him. The hole that was left in Adam and Eve's being and everyone who would ever follow can only be filled by the Father through Jesus Christ. Our souls long for the restoration of the relationship with the Father that was lost in Adam. This loss, this God-shaped hole, is felt by everyone who has ever lived, and it affects everyone in different ways. For those of you who've had strained relationships with your Father, did you ever wonder why it affected you so long and so deeply? Why did it touch every part of your life? Your physical health, your emotional health, your mental health, your spiritual health. I constantly run across people who, because they had a failed father, maybe an abusive father, that regardless of how old they are, it is still affecting their lives today. Why is that? Why that one relationship has such a deep and profound effect on our lives? Our relationship with our fathers was intended by God to be an example, albeit imperfect, of what our relationship with him should be like. Imagine what your life could have been like if you had a healthy and loving relationship with your father. A father who encouraged you, supported you, taught you properly. None of our fathers were perfect. I had a great father. He was not perfect. Yet in somewhere in that relationship, God is trying to teach us lessons about himself. So when Jesus told the disciples and us by extension to address God as Abba or Daddy, it was to get them to pray in a very personal manner and consider God as more than just the spiritual being out there who really didn't care. Because the people of the Old Testament looked at God as this God up there who was separate from them and gave them rules and regulations that they had to live by. And Jesus was saying, that's all true, but I need you to address him as a personal father, Daddy, Abba, because that is who he is. Now, if we look at this prayer like this, as Jesus is asking us to look at it, because he's saying this is how we should pray. If God is my Father, a personal Father, Abba Daddy, then as I'm praying, there are certain things I need to keep in mind about my Father. So it goes like this. Number one, I have a Father who loves me personally. I have a Father who loves me personally. Yes, God loves humanity enough to send his Son. But you know what? He knows each and every one of you, and he loves you personally. I have a Father I can trust. He's got my best interest at heart. I have a Father I can trust, and a Father who will take care of me in all situations. We pray this way because God is not impersonal. He's not aloof. He's not uncaring. when we pray this way, we have to keep in mind that he is not the personal God to those outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying to his disciples, pray to him like this, our Father, Daddy. He's not saying this to those outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. To those outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, God is a judge. But if you are in Jesus Christ, he is your Father, your Daddy. That's the difference that we have to keep in mind. The other thing, and this is what a good father does, we have to keep in mind as we address God as Father or Daddy, is that Scripture never promises that he will rescue you from difficult situations. It never promises that. What it does promise is that he will help you get through it. We will all have difficult situations we face, but God promises, I'm going to get you through it. A good father doesn't rescue their kids when they get in trouble. He provides them the way to get through it, encouragement, whatever it takes, so they pass through it and they learn the lessons they got to learn from the difficult situation. If you are constantly rescuing a kid, he will never learn a lesson and it will keep going back and doing the same thing over and over. We have a good father. Secondly, whenever we hear his name or think about him, it should go right to the core of our being. God's name should be special to you because it's holy. We pray that his name would be respected and not despised either by us or by others. We pray that our actions and our thinking are always an example of how we respect God and his name. Whenever I see my father's name in print or think about Charles Mann, you know, there's a love and a respect that wells up inside of me because I loved my father. I love my father. And it should be even more so with God. When we pray to him, knowing that we have a God who cares about us and we can trust, who we can call Daddy, when we pray to him, inside of us, we should feel it. I'm addressing my Father who knows me and loves me deeply. And I love him. Third, when I pray like Jesus told me, I have confidence that I have a home with our Father and it's not in this corrupt world. And fourth, lastly, that I would have confidence that God is in control. This world is not in control. I'm not in control. God is in control. And he is able to meet my needs. That being said, what does it matter if somebody wrongs me? Because you know what? My Father's going to take care of it. He promises me that. And so therefore, I have the ability to forgive that person because I know, you know what, buddy? If you don't turn from your ways, and you're not in Jesus Christ in the end, you're going to get the punishment you deserve. I don't have to worry about revenge or trying to get back to them. I can forgive them because my Father will take care of that if they never turn their life to Jesus Christ. Now, this prayer is a description of God. I hope you realize that. It's a description of God. It's not something that you should pray word for word. This is a description of the Father that we worship and love. So let me summarize it a little bit here. Jesus is describing a Father that you can love and trust who always cares. My Father God is someone that I can love and trust and always cares. Jesus is describing a Father that when you hear his name, you are overwhelmed with respect and admiration for your Father. He's describing that you can have confidence that you will always have a home, a place with Him. Now, this was really interesting when I thought about this, because for many of us folks who were older, our parents, they stayed in the family home typically until they died, right? For many people. But in this time period where we live right now, because people are constantly moving, I feel bad for my children. They can't come back to my home because there is no more family home. When I go to Pennsylvania on Saturday, I'm going to stay with my mother in her home. It's not where I grew up, but it's still my mother's home, and they've been living in it a long time. I have the ability to go home. And so many people don't have that at all. But the beauty of God as my Father is He promises me that I have a home that I'm going to go to. And it's consistent, it's there, and He's waiting for me at home. And I can cling to that. Jesus is describing also a Father who always has the right answer. He always has the right answer. Now, I doubt that any of our fathers always had the right answer. They may have had good answers and right answers sometimes, but God the Father always has the right answer. He's always in control, and I can trust Him. This is who you're praying to as your Father. What better Father to pray to? Now, daughters look for and long for this in their fathers. Think about that. What Jesus is describing is what daughters look for in their fathers. Women look for this in their husbands. The very things that Jesus is describing. Sons desire a father that is trustworthy and have the answers for life. Both want a good example they can follow, a father that will give them the freedom to explore life and sometimes fail, all the while being ready to catch them with open arms and never turning their back on them. That's what we want. That's what's inside of us. Our deepest desire when we think about a father is exactly these things. We want a father that will stand firm on their principles and never be a hypocrite. When God breathed his spiritual breath into Adam, He breathed this deep desire for this type of father into all humanity. We are built to look for this father. Not only you, everyone in the world is looking for this Father. We are made to desire everything that Jesus told us to pray about in this example He gave in Matthew. And when Jesus makes us aware and introduces us to the Father, we stand back and see Him everywhere and in everything. We recognize our Father, God. He's the one we've been searching for all of our lives. He fills that God-shaped hole in our life that we've desired to have filled. The world is doing the exact same thing, except for the fact they're trying to fill that hole with anything that makes them feel good. Anything. That desire is there in every person. And it's only for the believers who truly know who God is, who their Father is, that they can have the satisfaction of having that hole, that desire in their life, that need in their life filled by the Father. So when we pray, it's not about the procedures of prayer, but it's about acknowledging that God is the perfect Father that all fathers should look to. If you want instructions for a father, take them to the Lord's Prayer and say, this is what a good father does. A father who wants his name respected. A father who can provide for your needs. A father who will take care of you. The Lord's Prayer describes what a good father is. But we need to remember that without a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, you cannot have a relationship with the Father. It can't happen. So I would encourage you this morning, make it a matter of prayer this week to honor God by making it a priority to look to Jesus as your Lord. You cannot know the Father if Jesus is not your Lord. When he's your Lord and you're looking to him for the example on how to live, you will get closer to the Father. And the Father will be working in your life regularly, all the time, and you will recognize it. We need to be looking to Jesus Christ as our Lord. Make him our authority. Make him our example. And get to know the Father through Jesus. Your Heavenly Father can heal you of everything your flawed earthly father has done if you will allow him. Because that's who our Heavenly Father is. He can fix everything. But you've got to allow him. And it starts with Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And we need to be in a committed relationship with Jesus. And he will reveal the Father to us over and over again. So, today is Father's Day. What a good day to honor the best father. Recognize the attributes of this father that we worship. How awesome he is, and how perfect he is, and how willing he is to help us and heal us, take care of us, if we live with Jesus Christ as our Lord. Consider those things this week. In every decision you make, dedicate your day to Jesus, to living for the Lord. And let's watch and see the awesome and great things God does in our life as we call him Daddy, Abba, Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's so easy to just indiscriminately say those words, Father in heaven. Lord, we have to have a feeling of admiration and respect for you, a deep, deep love, because you loved us so much that you gave your son, your one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, that we can have a relationship with you. Father, as we consider the things that Jesus has told us about you, even in this simple prayer, telling us that this is how we should pray, Lord, we thank you that you want to be known and you want us to be in a relationship with you. Father, I pray this week as we go back to our normal routine, taking the break today and resuming things as we leave this place, that we would really seriously think about you as our personal Father and what you would want us to do. Thank you, God. Thank you, Abba, Father, Daddy, for loving me and loving all of us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.